The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Ladies Magazines. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines. We begin with this one from Better Homes and Gardens. Now say to yourself five times and believe it. This is March. The main thing to do in March is to don't. I don't dare do much in my garden because I know this old fellow March. He fools me every time. And that's a quote from Alfred Carl Hottes, garden editor, back in 1933. From Real Simple, three things tax accountants want you to do right now. Tax season's here, and you need to get your you-know-what together ASAP, and filing won't be too stressy. It's tempting to ignore the tax forms that hit your mailbox at the beginning of the year, when April feels so far away. Our advice, don't. If you rush during tax season, you're going to either forget something or get aggressive, shortcut the documentation process, and leave yourself more open to the risk of an audit, says Mark Stieber, Chief Tax Information Officer at the national firm Jackson Hewitt Tax Services. Follow these steps to get organized for this year's deadline and the rest of your, hopefully very long, tax-paying life. 1. Decide to itemize or not. By doing this first, you could save yourself a lot of work. If you take the federal standard deduction, which 87% of taxpayers do, then your receipts can go right into the recycle bin unless you itemize for your state returns. For tax year 2022, the federal standard deduction for single filers is $12,950. For married couples, it's $25,900. How do you know if you should itemize or take the standard deduction? You can make the call without tracking down every single expense. Rough estimates of your medical bills, mortgage interest and property taxes, and charitable contributions can clue you in to whether itemizing makes sense, says Amber Gray Fenner, owner of Tax Therapy LLC in Albuquerque, New Mexico. If one or more of these amounts isn't in the high four or five figures, the chances that itemizing will be more beneficial than the standard deduction is small, Gray Fenner says. She hasn't itemized in years, but does take advantage of her state's tax breaks for medical expenses. Here's what to look for specifically. Medical expenses. This category includes so many things. Medical appointments, prescription meds, certain insurance premiums, contact lenses, and more. Search medical and dental expenses on the IRS website for a list of examples. Your total costs must exceed 7.5% of your adjusted gross income to qualify for deduction. As for proof of itemized expenses, save your receipts, credit card statements as long as they list the exact amount paid, account statements from a doctor's office, or canceled checks. If you don't hit that 7.5% mark, see whether your state offers breaks for health care spending before tossing any receipts. Mortgage interest and property taxes. If you have a mortgage, your lender should send a 1098 form in January showing that the interest paid from the previous year. Paid property taxes can be verified with a canceled check or bank statement. The tax bill itself doesn't cut it. The 1098 may list the property taxes if you paid using an escrow account. Donations. Charitable contributions can include cash or goods, and you'll need receipts for donations worth more than $250. For those worth more than $5,000, you'll need to submit a professional appraisal of your items. If you do itemize, it doesn't pay to hunt down receipts for every little expense. Obsessing over tiny missed deductions is usually not worth it, Gray Fenner says. You're not getting a dollar-for-dollar reduction. For every dollar in additional deductions you find, you save 12 to 36 cents, depending on your tax bracket and other minutiae. Gather what you have and don't sweat the small stuff. Next, make a list. Your virtual and physical mailboxes will start filling with tax documents during the first weeks of the year, but you may still need to hunt down some things. a W-2 from your employer, savings interest statement from your bank, and an interest form from your student loan servicer are a few common ones to watch for. Take a minute to list what you'll need and check off forms as you collect them. This way, you're not scrambling to find missing items while your tax software rudely threatens to log you out. Pro tip, review last year's return to remind yourself which forms you'll likely need. Next, set up a system. Whether you store documents virtually or hold on to physical copies is a personal choice. Either way, pick a method and stick with it because spotting a missing item is easier when everything is in one place. If you're going all paper, print copies of electronic files. If you want everything out of sight, scan or photograph your forms and any receipts you're saving. Stieber uses 4 manila envelopes to organize his family's tax information. The first includes income-related documents such as W-2s from work and 1099s for contract or gig jobs. The second holds receipts for potential medical, property, or charity write-offs. The third contains last year's tax return and dependent information. And the fourth one holds whatever doesn't fall under the other categories, like 401k distribution statements. Save everything in your system for at least 6 years in case you get audited by the IRS. Typically, the IRS audits tax returns within 3 years of filing, but the agency could review additional years if major discrepancies are found. Generally, the IRS won't go back more than 6 years. After that, you can delete the files from your computer or shred your paper records. One last thing. While you're still in tax mode, it's January and you're off to a fresh start for 2023. Set up your file system for 2024, too, and file away receipts and documents as soon as you get them. Next year's tax season will be even smoother. From Woman's Day, beat the clock with heart-smart advice. When the clocks spring forward, there's more to think about than how to find the energy to make up for that lost hour of sleep. Studies suggest that the risk of heart attack or stroke rises in the first few days after the spring time change, especially among people with heart disease risk factors. The combination of those risk factors and the temporary disruption of the circadian rhythm and sleep loss is likely to blame, but there are steps you can take for a smoother transition. First, prep ahead. For the week before the time change, move your bedtime up by 15 to 30 minutes. This will help your body adjust and respond better to the lost sleep. Return to your regular sleep schedule after the time switch, and expose yourself to bright daylight soon after you wake up to help your internal clock stay in sync. 2. Build a heart-healthy lifestyle to follow year-round. Things like getting regular exercise, enjoying healthful and nutritious meals, keeping a handle on stress, and prioritizing good sleep all help prevent or manage heart disease risk factors like high blood pressure or cholesterol, weight gain, and unbalanced blood sugar. And 3, pay your doctor a visit. Yearly trips to your primary care physician can help reveal worrisome heart-related changes, such as elevated blood pressure or blood glucose, that you may be able to target via lifestyle changes before resorting to medication. If you haven't already scheduled an annual physical, get one on the books. And did you know? It's smart to get a dose of daylight as you awaken. Hatch Restore is a sleep machine with an alarm that mimics sunlight to rouse you. Look into it at hatch.co, hatch.co. From Good Housekeeping's Cleaning Lab, question, are steam mops safe to use on wood floors? Answer, steam mop manufacturers tout their product safety for most types of flooring, including sealed, solid, and engineered hardwood and laminate, but we don't recommend them. Everyday wear and tear from shoes, pets, sunlight, and more can leave wood floor finishes with fine cracks, worn spots, and other openings that allow moisture to reach the wood. And from our perspective, wood floors are rarely sealed perfectly enough to resist the heat and penetrating steam these mops emit. Use a steam mop on wood often enough, and it may cause the finish to dull and the wood to warp over time. If you still want to try an occasional steam cleaning on a wood floor, start with a clean, dry pad and select the lowest temperature and steam setting your mop offers. Change the pad when it gets wet. Mop the floor quickly and buff it dry afterward. We prefer to use steam mops for cleaning and sanitizing ceramic and porcelain tile and sheet vinyl flooring. Some care for wood floors. Some tips. 1. Dust frequently. Keep wood floors looking great by removing dust and dirt often. Because this grit is abrasive, it can scratch a floor's finish. Vacuum often with your machine floor brush or soft, fluffy roller, or use a dry microfiber mop or sweeper. Wipe sticky spots with a damp cloth or paper towel and buff dry. Wet clean with care. It's fine to give sealed wood floors a wet cleaning from time to time, especially if they get lots of foot traffic, but proceed carefully. Choose a cleaner made for wood and apply it sparingly. Spray a 3-foot square section, then wipe it with a clean microfiber or disposable pad mop. Check that the floor is drying quickly. If not, buff it dry with a cloth before moving on. And to prevent scratches, to keep fine scratches to a minimum and help wood floors maintain a warm glow, have family members wear indoor shoes or slippers with soft soles whenever possible. Keep pets' nails trimmed and cover all table and chair legs with protective caps or felt pads. If you use an upright vacuum, switch off the rotating brush for gentler cleaning. And 3 cleaning all-stars. Give your floors the TLC they deserve with these Good Housekeeping Cleaning Lab favorites. First, the gentle vacuum. This slim Dyson's soft rollers grab even the finest dust. It's the Dyson OmniGlide Cordless Stick Vac Cleaner. $450 at Dyson.com, D-Y-S-O-N.com. A super spray. In tests, floors mopped with Bona shone like new. It's the Bona Power Plus Hardwood Floor Deep Cleaner, $10 for a 32-ounce spray bottle on Amazon. And a speedy mop, Good Housekeeping Seal Star Swiffer Wet Jets, absorbent pad and cleaner, zap wood floor grime fast. It's the Swiffer Wet Jet Hardwood Mop Kit, $32 on Amazon. From Real Simple, Real Simple settles it. Should you brush your teeth before or after breakfast? Everyone's got an opinion. We collected yours, then called on the experts to settle the debate once and for all. Readers say, here's one that said before, how does one go front of the house with morning breath and face? On the after category, someone said, I have to have my coffee first. And another said, after, with flossing. Who wants breakfast in their teeth at work? And some said, both. I exercise before breakfast and need a fresh mouth. And of course, after, brush and floss. And someone else, I brush my teeth many times throughout the day. My family makes fun of my obsession, but I get lots of compliments from my dentist. And the experts say, brush those chompers after breakfast. The reason? All the food particles and sugars lingering in your mouth after you eat can ferment, creating acid, which can erode enamel and cause cavities. And that leftover breakfast gunk is worse for your teeth than whatever bacteria might have built up overnight. So you want to remove it all before getting on with your day, says Sally Cram, DDS, spokesperson for the American Dental Association. One little caveat, ideally delay brushing by at least 30 minutes after you drink something acidic. Hello, coffee and OJ. The wait allows your enamel to harden up again. If you have to brush ASAP after eating once in a while, Rinse your mouth with water first, says Linda Para, DDS, owner of Dr. Para Implant Center in Baja California, where she and her staff clean and polish more than 1,500 sets of pearly whites each year. Let's say you're one of those people who hate doing anything with morning breath, and we can't change your mind. A quick brush upon waking to remove the blah flavor with a thorough scrub after eating is fine, Cram says. It's actually tough to overbrush, as long as you're using a soft bristle brush and working in a circular motion. There is a benefit to brushing immediately after you get up, says Alexan Scheller, senior brand manager for Crest Toothpaste. It can help start saliva production when you wake up, which helps break down food and kill bacteria. To recap, it's best to brush after breakfast, and there's no harm in doubling AM brushing. Also, brush after your other meals, use a fluoridated toothpaste, and don't forget to floss at least once a day. Follow these tips to get a gold star from your dentist. And from Millie, your money, your life, here are some acronyms for you to learn. CPI. This acronym stands for Consumer Price Index, a measurement of the change in price of selected goods and services over time. You've most likely noticed rising prices this year, especially those for gasoline and food. Indeed, between June of 21 and June of 22, the index for all urban consumers went up 9.1%, the largest 12-month increase since 1981. COLA, that's C-O-L-A. No, it's not the sugary carbonated drink you think it is. This COLA refers to cost of living adjustment. Essentially, this is an increase measured using the Consumer Price Index made to Social Security benefits to help combat inflation and make up for a loss in purchasing power. This year, for example, the COLA is 5.9%, so it's still a treat in its own way, we suppose. APY, this acronym is sure to make you happy, and they've got the APY in parentheses, closely tied to our friend compound interest. APY, or annual percentage yield, is the total or real amount of interest you earn on investment or in a savings account over 1 year of the if the interest is compounded. And HELOC, H-E-L-O-C. Did you know your home could act as kind of a credit card? A home equity line of credit, also called a HELOC or HELOC, is essentially a home equity loan, meaning it's secured against your home, from which you can pull funds when you need them rather than getting a lump sum all at once. They typically have lower, though variable, interest rates than regular home equity or personal loans. And a new year, better you. Radical solutions are out. Attainable goals are in. Forget the self-imposed pressure of striving to meet ideas so lofty and unrealistic you lose steam a few months in. Instead, set an overall intention to have a healthy and vibrant year, and think of a few doable ways to live out that aspiration all year long. Try this framework developed by business management pros George Duran, Arthur Miller, and James Cunningham for SMARTER goal setting. SMART stands for specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. So instead of it's diet and detox time, try I can and will eat better. I will do this by drinking more water, exploring new produce, and making my meals plant-based twice a week. Instead of no more sugar, try I will swap out one soda a day for seltzer and have fresh fruit for dessert three nights a week. And instead of this is the year I'm going to get into shape, try I will move my body more this year by walking four times a week and attending at least one fitness class every week. From Good Housekeeping, some easy weeknight recipes. First, a one-pot meal, chicken with stewed peppers and tomatoes. Active time, only 10 minutes. Total time is 25, and this serves four. Heat oven to 450. Pat four 6-ounce boneless skinless chicken breast dry with paper towels, then rub with 1 tablespoon smoked paprika and 1/2 teaspoon each kosher salt and pepper. Heat 1 tablespoon olive oil in a large oven-proof skillet on medium and cook chicken until browned on one side, 4 to 5 minutes. Flip chicken. Add 2 small red onions cut into 1/2-inch thick wedges, 2 red peppers quartered and sliced crosswise, 1/2-inch thick, 1/2 pound Campari tomatoes cut in half, and 2 cloves garlic thinly sliced, and season with 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Transfer skillet to oven and roast stirring vegetables once until chicken is cooked through and veggies are tender, 14 to 16 minutes. Serve sprinkled with chopped parsley leaves and sliced almonds if desired. And another heart-healthy option, we've been talking about the heart a lot, seared salmon with spiced sweet potatoes. Active time is 15 minutes, total time 35, and it serves 4. Heat oven to 425. On a rimmed baking sheet, toss 4 small sweet potatoes, about 2 pounds, peeled, cut into 2-inch pieces, with 1 tablespoon olive oil, then 1 tablespoon coriander seeds crushed, 1 red chili thinly sliced, and 1/2 teaspoon each kosher salt and pepper. Roast until golden brown and tender, 20 to 25 minutes. Meanwhile, in a small bowl, whisk together 2 tablespoons clementine juice, 1 teaspoon each honey, grated ginger, and white vinegar, and 1 tablespoon of oil. Heat 1 tablespoon oil in a large skillet on medium-high. Season 4 skinless salmon fillets, 1 1/4 pounds total, with 1/2 teaspoon each, you guessed it, salt and pepper, and cook until golden brown and just opaque throughout, 5 to 6 minutes per side. Serve with sweet potatoes, drizzle with vinaigrette, and sprinkle with chopped cilantro leaves if desired. And one more from Good Housekeeping. This is a 5-ingredient dinner, pierogi with sautéed cabbage. Active time and total time are both 20 minutes, and it serves 4. Start with frozen potato and onion pierogi. Pan fry that package. It's usually a 16-ounce package of frozen potato and onion pierogi per package directions. Then bacon. Meanwhile, cook 4 slices bacon in a large skillet on medium, flipping once until crisp, 5 to 6 minutes. Transfer to paper towel lined plate. Let cool, then break into pieces. Wipe out the skillet and heat 1 tablespoon olive oil on medium. Add an onion sliced and cook covered, stirring occasionally, 5 minutes. Add 1/2 of a small Savoy cabbage, about 1 pound, cored and thinly sliced, to the onion in the skillet, seasoned with 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Cook covered, stirring occasionally until vegetables are just tender, 2 to 3 minutes. Then stir in 1 1/2 tablespoons whole grain mustard and 1 tablespoon water and cook 1 minute. Fold in the bacon and serve with the pierogi. Looks very attractive on the plate. From Woman's Day, shrimp scampi. 20 minutes is your total and active time, and it serves 2. We need 6-ounce angel hair pasta, cooked rice, or crusty bread for serving. 3 tablespoons olive oil divided, kosher salt and pepper, 12 ounces medium peeled and deveined shrimp, 1/4 of a small white onion, finely chopped, 3 cloves garlic, finely chopped, 1/2 cup dry white wine, 1 teaspoon lemon zest, 1 1/2 tablespoons lemon juice, 1 1/2 tablespoons unsalted butter, 1 tablespoon flat leaf parsley, chopped. Cook pasta or rice per package directions. Drain pasta, rinse under lukewarm water, and toss with 1 tablespoon oil and 1/2 teaspoon salt. Pat the shrimp dry, then toss in a bowl with 1/2 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Heat 1 tablespoon oil in large skillet on medium high. Add shrimp and cook, flipping halfway through, 4 minutes. Transfer to a plate. They'll finish cooking later. Heat remaining tablespoon oil on medium. Add onion and cook, stirring occasionally, 4 minutes. Add garlic and cook 1 minute. Add wine and simmer until reduced by half, 1 minute. Add a half teaspoon salt, lemon zest and juice, and butter. Simmer until slightly reduced, 1 to 2 minutes. Add shrimp and cook until heated through, 1 minute. Sprinkle with parsley. Serve immediately with pasta, rice, or bread, drizzled with any pan juices. And how about chocolate-covered strawberries? Active time is 10 minutes. Total time is 40 plus chill time, and it serves 2. We need 8 large strawberries, about a half pound. Sprinkles, crushed pistachios, crushed freeze-dried raspberries, and toasted shredded unsweetened coconut for topping. 4 ounces semi-sweet chocolate chips. We like Guittard and Ghirardelli. 1 ounce white chocolate melted for drizzling. Using paper towels, pat strawberries as dry as possible. Line baking sheet with parchment or waxed paper. Choose desired toppings and place in separate bowls. Place chocolate chips in glass measuring cup or small cup or bowl. The smaller, the better. Be sure it's completely dry or the chocolate will seize. Microwave on 50% power in 30-second intervals, stirring in between until nearly melted, then stir smooth until melted completely, about 1 minute 15 seconds. Working with one strawberry at a time, dip in chocolate, twisting to let the excess drip off. Transfer to prepared baking sheet, immediately sprinkle with your desired toppings, or let set and skip to the next step if drizzling with the white chocolate. If using the white chocolate, melt following the directions for semi-sweet chocolate. Dip fork into the melted white chocolate and drizzle over the chocolate coating. Refrigerate strawberries uncovered until ready to serve at least 30 minutes and up to 1 day. And how about air fryer garlic asparagus? Active time is 5 minutes, total time is 20, and it serves 2. We need 1 pound of asparagus trimmed, 1.5 tablespoons olive oil, 2 large cloves of garlic finely chopped, 3/4 teaspoon garlic powder, and kosher salt and pepper. Heat air fryer to 375. In a large bowl, toss asparagus with oil, garlic, garlic powder, and a half teaspoon each salt and pepper. Add asparagus to air fryer basket and air fry, shaking basket halfway through until asparagus is crisp tender, 7 to 10 minutes, depending on thickness. Transfer to a platter. And if you don't have an air fryer, no problem. Simply roast the asparagus on a foil-lined baking sheet in a 425-degree oven for 7 to 10 minutes. We've run out of time for today's episode of Ladies Magazines. Be sure and listen next time. I'm Jean Latchall, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Ladies Magazine is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. Comments or questions? Give us a call. Bye now.